Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the You Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Jared Freed. It is such a pleasure to be here, Jordana. So pumped about what's going on with this podcast.
Me too. We had our second New York City live show last night.
I'm hurting today.
Yeah, me too.
It's a, you know what? The shows.
The energy is great though.
The energy is so unbelievable. By the end of it, it's like we ran a marathon. Like it feels.
Essentially, it feels like that. Yeah. It's,
we do back-to-back shows. The crowd is pumped up. I want to thank Mateo Lane, who is fantastic. You should all go follow him. He's so funny. And Michelle Wolf.
Who's also hysterical.
I mean, yeah. Michelle was like, it's crazy for me. And it warms my heart. She is such a huge star that people are like giddy to see her on the show.
I loved her stand-up special on HBO. We put it actually in a quote on our book.
Oh,
which
amazing.
Is coming out October 23rd. You guys can pre-order it now everywhere that books are sold. You can go to betches.co/WHH.
Go check out that
it's
book.
A really fun... It's, it has commentary on, you know, on everything from like making your resume to like finding a job and succeeding in it. But it's fun. It's like light and it's not, it's going to be a fun read, even though it's like has some serious advice in there.
Awesome. I'm also going to be in Seattle at Laughs in Seattle. Go to my Instagram at Jared Freed. I'm there on the 23rd in Seattle. So September 23rd, if you're listening right now, get a crew together. But also I want to bring up, just to go back to the live shows, they're so much fun.
They are.
They're so much fun for us. We play games. And this is a show. I don't want to, I'm not going to disparage any other live podcasts, but this is made for you and your group. This is, we built the show for you to bring friends that are like, what's a podcast? Who's a cast pod? What's a face to Insta? Right. Those idiots, bring them. They're going to have
gonna
fun.
They're going to love it.
They're going to love it.
Even if they're not podcast people.
It's a group experience. We bring people on stage. We answer your questions live. The girl or a guy in your group that keeps bothering you with their questions about the person they've been trying to fuck for 3 years, bring them.
Right. Let
We're
them bother
help them.
Us.
Yeah, let them bother us and let a room full of people judge right. them.
And if you want a chance to see us live and you live in the Dallas area or somewhere outside of that, you should come see us on October 1st. We're going to be at Canton Hall by the Bomb Factory.
Canton Hall, there's an 8 and there's a 10 o'clock show.
Yes.
Come to one, come to both. They're two totally different shows.
It's going to be awesome. Go to betches.co/Dallas 8 and Dallas 10, depending on which show you want.
It's also on our Instagrams and all that stuff. Like, you guys, if you're in that area, it's going to be a great time. I'm so pumped about it. I'm pumped that we're like able to go outside of New York and show people what we've been doing. I'm
excited to go somewhere south. By that time, it might be a little cold here. Yeah. I'm really just going for the potential of a little bit of a tan.
A tan potential.
Yeah.
Dallas is one of those areas that I am always surprised by. Like, they're like, oh, it's winter. We have
right.
stuff.
It's 98 degrees where it's winter here too. Totally.
It's funny when it's Northeast people. We just assume anything south is just going to be like
hot
and where's the beach?
Exactly. Where's the pool?
I went to San Antonio, and if anyone knows the area of San Antonio, my dad was like, before I'm going, he goes, you should bring a passport and go to Mexico for the day.
How far is it from
Mexico? Like a 4-hour drive. That's like being like, hey Jared, you should go to Pennsylvania from Boston.
Right. Like, oh, you're gonna be in the city? Like, definitely check out Montreal.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And also the other insane and the craziest part of that, I was like, yeah, you're right, I should bring my passport. Like, I had no idea.
Right. I have no idea. Geography is like absurd. I have no idea where anything
it's is. Insanity. Also, as if any border in Mexico is just a guy waiting with a Corona for me to hang at the beach.
Right.
You know, like, that's how little knowledge. Yeah.
The only time that made any sense, my sister went to school in Buffalo and I went there and you could go to Canada in like 45 minutes.
That you go to like a casino.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, or drink at 19.
It's essentially the only the only thing I know.
So anyway. Dallas people, come, bring a crew. Even if they don't know the show, I will tell you this. We are producing a show for the people that don't know it, because you're going to have fun.
It's going to be great. If you've seen any of our Instagram stories from the other shows, like, we have a ton of fun. People are really excited. The energy's great. We're excited to see you there.
Energy. Bring your fun friends.
All right, let's get into this week's episode.
Let's do it.
So we read this article online. Did you see this article that said, basically it said that women on dating apps peak at 18 and men peak at 50.
Now, how did they come to that conclusion?
They saw, like, who gets the most responses, I guess. Just
18-year-old women.
The most swipes and the most responses.
I don't like the way that this was, like, marketed. Okay. You know, like, they marketed it as
clickbait, you think?
It was very clickbaity, right? Where they were just like, you're done at 18, bitches. Right. You know, time it's to over. Die. Yeah. And then men, as if men were out there, like, you know, like, at what did they say the male age was?
50.
Yeah, right. 50-year-old men are just walking around with a harem of women.
Right. Just behind them. I guess it really just gave you a sense of, like, I think what it really, I mean, it meant, like, I think it just is an ode to the superficiality of dating on these dating sites. It's like, it's supposed to be like your first glance. So yeah, like, younger is better. Like,
but I
objectively speaking, like, an older man with more money and experience is better. A younger girl who's like, has more youth and is hotter. Like, sure. Fine.
You know what?
But it doesn't really speak to, like, what's really going on, like, in the nuances of dating.
At all. And you know what bothers me about this? I hate when someone reads this article and goes, see, it's so hard. We're so superficial. Every generation has been superficial. You are just using
other
the tools.
Have been worse.
Worse.
Yeah. People used to marry 14-year-old girls.
Yes. Well, yeah.
That was a little worse.
Oh, he's so lucky. You know, like, you exactly. know, like, but I... It's interesting, like, I get this blowback a lot where they're like, no, that's not how it is. And I'm like, I'm just telling you, like, when I smell a steak, I salivate. Like, I'm just telling you what the thing is. And it's like, when you go to a bar, you're swiping right and left, whether you like it or not.
Right.
You guy or girl.
I think the frustrating thing for a girl hearing this statistic is like, okay, like, a guy doesn't care if I have a degree. A guy doesn't care that I have this experience, that I like myself, that I'm older, my personality. He's just, like, looking for, like, the youngest, hottest thing out there.
Yeah.
And that can be, I guess, that could feel like a little, like...
A girl doesn't care that I'm a librarian, that I'm a teacher, that I'm a... You know, like, it goes both ways.
I can see it the other way around. You
know, he's a biochemist and, you know, and gave his life to the government so he doesn't make any fucking dough. Right. You know, like,
No, I get that. Yeah.
So, I'm just saying... I agree with what you're saying. Like, life sucks.
Right. Well, that's why this statistic doesn't tell you, like, about, again, like, about the nuances of things. And, like, yeah, on a strictly, like, you get one information, one, like, fact about a person, like, young or old. Yeah, you want, like, young. Sure. You want, like, male, experienced, and educated. Like, yeah, yes or no? Like, yes, I'd prefer that.
Well, that's why, like, certain people, like, I you know, it's interesting. I get written by a lot of guys where they're like, I don't like this specific app because I don't get any matches. And I'm like, you just get less matches. You're getting less dopamine in your brain because it feels good to get a match. That's not...
More matches isn't better necessarily,
though. This is what I'm saying. Right. So, like, for people on these apps where they're like, well, it's all about looks. Yeah. And you're someone's... You know, people are masturbating to feet. You're someone's foot. I say that all the time. And it's like... Someone out there, you're the right seat for their butt.
Right.
You know?
I like that idea of fewer better matches as well. It's like there's a store that I like. It's called Huyana. And that's sort of their philosophy. They only sell like a few things, but they're really high quality things. And I like that idea when it relates to anything in life. Like fewer better dates.
Sure.
Fewer better matches. Like less... More meaningful experiences.
Well, that also goes into the idea of options. Like, you know, the amount of options we have now are infinite.
Right.
You ever go on Seamless and you're like, I don't know what to fucking order.
Right.
And you sit there for 2 hours and then you go to the same fucking place.
The options are The options are excessive. But I think that if you really know what you want and you value the right things, you can narrow people down really easily.
And
that's one of the best things about dating when you're older and not 18. Because when you're 18, most people might be interested in you, but you don't really know how to pick people.
And you don't know what you want and things are going to fail. Like, I know what feels good to me now. at, mm-hmm. at 33. Right. I know what I'm looking for. And, you know, that's not to say that whoever I'm not looking for is wrong. It's just not for me.
Right.
You know? And I think people get depressed by that because we're meeting more people than ever. So you're getting turned down by more people than ever. So you're like, well, it must be because I'm not the 18-year-old girl on this. And it's like, no, that's not why. It's just... it hasn't worked out yet. When it works out, you'll be like, wow, that was easy. I can't believe it worked out that way.
Right. Yeah. Because when it works out, it's like you find the person who likes what they're like, all these things about like that, like the things that aren't listed on the dating app about you.
Yeah.
And you them. And that's not like a necessarily like that common of a thing.
Yeah. And I think for guys, we have to get through like I know I have to get through this whole thing of like, oh my God, I'm so fucking attracted to this person. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like all I want to do is animalistically, I'm like, I need to fuck this person.
Okay.
Like, and then I get to the point, I'm like, then I fuck and I go, hi, well, tell me where you went to college.
Right. You know? Now I can see if I like you.
Now
right.
I can like get through yeah. that and it sucks.
For us, it's the opposite.
Totally.
But it's easy to kind of, I think when you, in the opposite way, you have this animalistic urge to have sex with someone. Sometimes a lot of girls have like an animalistic urge to just like be with someone.
Yeah.
Right. They want like the companionship. They want to feel like they're in a relationship. They want to be, and it makes them not look at how the guy is acting or like, or what he's doing. And instead kind of just like focus on like if he's into them because yeah. they want this attraction so badly.
Could you be with someone you weren't attracted to
physically?
Physically.
I would have to be like, at least a little bit physically attracted to them.
At least, what's a little bit?
Like, I mean, but then it's also, I feel like personality can like make someone more attractive to me.
That's what I'm saying. Like the idea that like, and this is why a lot of guys are more confident than they should be. People are like, why is he, who does he think? Like a lot of guys are like keep swiping
right.
while they're with someone great is because they're like, well, there's this ghost out there that might think I'm funny.
Right.
You know, then like, and that sounds horrible, but like,
but what makes someone appreciate the person they're with? There are, I mean, like there are people who are just content with where they are, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Value that.
We were talking about getting, we were talking about getting engaged. Like when the guy, we were talking about this at like,
you
when
and
we were,
I?
Yeah. When we were having, we were eating before the show.
Oh yeah.
And we were talking about getting engaged and like the, you know, the girl goes back and is like, I'm engaged. And everyone's like, whoa.
Right.
And the guy's like, yeah, I guess I'll do it.
But I feel like there, yeah, there are like a ton of guys who have that mentality. But what about, let's talk about like the romantic guys.
Okay.
The three of them out there.
Sure. All two and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
There are like some guys out there who are like, yeah, I really want a connection. I really want to settle down.
I think everyone does.
What do you think is the best way to spot those guys? The guys who are like ready for it now. Like, I don't think you obviously, I think you want that eventually, but
of
you're
course.
Not like, that's next on my to-do list. Like, find me a wife to bear my child.
I'll say this about myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see, that's the thing that bothers me. It has to be the only form of romanticism is I want you to be my wife my child.
Form of romanticism is like, I like want a deep, meaningful connection with one person and I want to like share my life with them.
I understand that that's the goal, but it's also like, I think it goes up from there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that to me, it feels good to do something nice for somebody. And that there's no, like the Phoebe in Friends, there's no such thing as a selfless date.
Yeah.
Like there is, to me, I'm on the other side of Phoebe. Like there's no such thing as a selfless date.
Right.
When a guy does something for you, he's doing it because he feels good to do it for you. And you want to find the guy that like is sitting there being like, it just feels good to make you happy.
Right.
And I think every guy, I'm optimistic.
But you want that for like a while, not for like a night.
Exactly. And I'm optimistic to think that everyone has the capacity to be that way. I don't think, and that's also.
But don't you feel like some guys are more ready to be that way than other guys?
That's why I always think that girls should date older
guy. Yeah.
Because they're fucking done. I'm exhausted right now. You know, like I'm like,
you've been worn out enough in the world that
I don't need this anymore. I you know, like go up, you know, like, and I just think you're more adept to find a guy who's going to be like, yeah, I got it out of my system. I had my fun in that sense. I'm looking for a different type of fun now.
Right. And, I'm more secure. Maybe a little more boring, but also like a little bit more like stable.
Sure. And I think the thing for women, like the thing that I always think is like, we had this conversation on earlier episodes about like when to have the talk.
Right.
Why not just be like a really good party. And I don't mean the party like you sit there fucking doing blow all day. Like, I, you know, like, I think be the party that, like, you're the party you enjoy being at and for you. Like, right. I always love the girl that's like,
doesn't need a label.
No, not that it doesn't need a label, but like, her, she's like, I got Thursday night, I do this with my chicks. Right. Friday night, I'm down, we should go out. I love this restaurant. I got this thing I like. I think having taste is having taste in the opposite sex is knowing your own taste and the things you like.
Right.
Because the more you, because anytime I'm with a girl where I'm like, where she's like, oh, I love this restaurant, we gotta go, it's so good. And I'm like, and a lot of girls are probably listening to me like, oh, I'm trying to plan. No. Don't try and plan things for you and the guy. Plan things for fucking you. Be a little selfish. Right. And be like, look at this fuck. And then now you're this Mardi Gras parade that's going by. And I'm like, wow, look at that parade.
I want to get in on it.
Right. I went in on the parade. Everyone, I think, is their own parade.
Right. I think for a lot of people, though, part of their parade is like they want like that to be a big part of their life, is doing things, these things with someone that they're...
Totally. But I think a lot of times it gets into the, well, would you want to do this? And it's like, I think it has to be more self. Like, I want
you to do you. And like, my hope is that like I fit in there.
Yes.
Right.
I think my...
You want to fit into their life, not like find a way to squeeze them into yours.
Absolutely. And I think of a, like, let's go on that parade analogy where it's like, if I'm walking by with my parade, okay, it's me, there's my friends there, we're drinking, and some parts of the parade is there's a drinking float, there's a family float where everyone's crying, you know, there's a movie float, you know, all these different floats make up my life. And it's like, we're going forward whether it's with or without you. I think a lot of women that I've been involved with, and I don't mean this as a net... And
they're down to stop the parade and rearrange the schedule so that you can get on.
They're going
to
shoo their parade home.
Right.
And then be like, I guess I'll do whatever your parade is. And then you're like, well, I got to fucking get permits. And now I'm responsible for her joining this parade that already exists. Right.
I see what you're saying.
It's like the girl. Yeah. Don't you have friends that have dropped everybody for this new boyfriend's life?
Yeah, those people suck. I definitely agree with that. But I think there's different levels of that. There's like people who are like, I do want to go out with my friends to this restaurant and this night, but I've also been doing that for 5 years. So like, if you want to go out, like, I'm happy to like, this is like newer and exciting for me. And I like want to be with a partner, and I like that. I like that romantic thing. So like, yeah, I might rearrange some parts of the parade so that I can get, you know, spend some time with you.
But then my blowback to that is like, to me, what I'm saying is progressive.
Okay.
Like, this to me is like an equalizing thing where it's like, you've been doing the dinners for 5 years, but then you're like, oh, the next dinner place I've been really looking at, like, if let's say your interest is in food or whatever, you're like, I'm going to that place.
Right.
Hey, if you're down, there's this new place that I really I need to go.
And if you're not, I'll take someone else.
Goodbye.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I agree with you in terms of like being more proactive about this dating, being less like, I'm going to like wait to see where he takes this relationship, instead of just being like, I'm going to go out and do my thing and have fun. And like, if it's in sync and we work together, then like, that's great. And we can fit in like organically. That's great.
And I'm not, you know, I can't tell someone how to feel, but you can't tell someone how to feel, but I can say this. If you look at this article where it's like, 18, you done, bitch. And you're eternally depressed by it, maybe it's time to look inward and be like, hey, I'm out of the apps. I gotta go fucking join a club, hang with my friends a little bit more, develop my taste in the things that I like.
Find something that makes you happy.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's nobody out there that's gonna fix your shit.
I mean, that really goes along with like the cheesy line of like, if you like yourself, like he'll come.
Yeah.
Like, it'll show up.
And she'll come. Like, it's both ways. Like, I have things in my own life, like, where I'm like, you know, like, I've been dating girls where I'm like, the weekend I'm having the best time with them, then Monday I'm like, ah, I feel fat and gross, I need to never go out for dinner again, I need to eat on my schedule, like, you see me come in here with peanut butter and a tablespoon, like, and then I'm like actively pushing people out of my life because I'm like, well, they aren't gonna help me. They're not, I need to do this first before I can be with them.
Right.
And that's my own problems. That's not to say that these people aren't good for me. That's me being like, oh, you gotta fucking know how to like,
I need to be like my ultimate, most self-actualized self before I can be like the partner that I think I'm gonna be.
Yeah. Well, that also tells me that I'm like, maybe you got to stop drinking that much on a weekend. Right. Maybe you're doing too much on this day.
You're just working on yourself to get ready for her.
This is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Let's see some emails.
Let's do it. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Keep sending those emails. Also, rate, review, subscribe. Rate, review, subscribe. And make it your Instagram story. I love that.
I love it too.
It really...
I always respond.
I always respond. Jordana always responds. When you make it your Instagram story, it's an uninvasive way of letting people know what you're having fun doing. And if you're having fun listening to this podcast, let them know.
Do it.
Hey, you up. First off, thank you for making my morning and evening commutes the most enjoyable hours of the day. My friends totally pushed me to email you guys, so here it is. I just graduated college, and the night before graduation, I was out with my friends. My friend's boyfriend introduced me to his one friend, to his friends whom I never seen once in my 4 years at school. We hit it off immediately, and of course, one thing led to another, and we hooked up. Maybe I'll be more conservative during my new life phase. No, you won't. That's the thing. You know how you, like, when you graduate college, and you're like, new life, now I'm an adult.
Right, new me.
And then you're like, oh, wait, I drink more out here.
Right, and then it's like, oh my God, I don't know anything, and the world is destroying me, yeah. And I have to get a job, and everything's terrible. Wait, sorry, go on.
And there are dumb adults.
Yeah.
That was a real eye-opener to me.
Being 22 sucks. I would never go back.
I think it's the worst, year? Most, well.
22 might be the worst.
22
is the 23 is pretty bad too.
I think 21 to 23, that range.
21's nice, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you're graduating, I'm just saying that graduating college, going into the quote unquote real world, no one was prepared for how drastic that was going to be for this generation.
Right.
This generation that was taught you can be anything, you can have anything, you're a special snowflake, you're beautiful, everything you're going to do, you're going to be the president of the universe. And then you got to 22 and you're like, oh, fuck, entry level.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it was a real blow.
No, I agree. That's like the worst year.
I
feel like you're also, it's also just because your expectations are so high.
So high.
Like the world's going to, like, life's going to be great. I'm like, I'm the freshman of the real world. It's going to be great.
And we grew up in a boom economy.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I'll pop up.
Oh my God. There's so much stuff I have to pay for now.
When I was in 2000, it was 2007. I worked, I sold life insurance.
Right.
And I literally walked by Lehman Brothers as the cameras were outside and people were like leaving there with their like desk.
Sounds like a great time to be in the workforce.
That's when I'm entering.
Yeah.
So
that's how you, that all roads led you to here.
And now I'm here, you know, talking about blowjobs. I'll be more conservative. We both went our separate paths, and eventually the texting died down until it was a Saturday afternoon. I was going to my friend's apartment to get ready for a night out. I did my daily swipe through of the Dapps.
dating apps, and happened to stumble upon him. Of course, I messaged him. We immediately picked up where we left off, and it was awesome. A few days later, we got drinks after work. Mind you, this is the first time we really, quote unquote, met and sober on top of it. He picked a bar close to my office, which was very cute. We got two drinks there and immediately had a connection. We went to another bar for a drink, three, at Jared. We changed locations. Proud. This is my big advice to anyone that's on a good date. Change locations, change locations. If you're looking to have a fun night.
A trip together.
Exactly.
Your first trip.
I left. Our first trip was to Joshua Tree. I left the date feeling so good. Feeling like, yes, I finally found a nice guy after all these years.
Okay. That's an emotional masturbation thing.
Yeah. Okay. You're 22.
Right.
You're going to live
after
to 100.
All these years.
All these weary years as a single cat lady at Emory. You know, like, come on. Live real.
It's
I know.
Absurd.
I hope she's joking. But
I don't think she is.
It doesn't come off as a joke. Let's be real. I think women need to stop with this age shit. I know we just talked about an article where 18 and it's over.
I've done that before. And I was actually just talking about this on our other podcast, Betch Lab, where it's like, if you're kind of like insecure about your age, or like you're kind of like, oh, like I've been doing this for like this jaded sense of like, I'm so old or whatever like that. It's because you're not happy with where you are in life. And so you become like, oh, I thought I'd have a boyfriend by 22. I've been dating for so many years.
The most transparent lack of confidence I've ever seen.
It is. Cause if you're happy with where you are, you own your age. You're like, I'm here. I'm proud of what I've done in this amount of time in my life.
Do you know how many hot chicks I have look at me and go, we're old, we're going home? And I'm like, get the fuck out of my life. Just shut the fuck up.
You go home, grandma.
Yeah, goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Right. You know, like, we're 25. We're old grandmas. Like, I just want to see, like, that's the thing. Like, I'm out every night. Like, and for work.
Right.
You know, so like.
Because you're young and fun.
Because I'm young and fun. But, you know, you're out. When you do stand up, you have to be out every night. So you see everyone on their night out.
Right.
And it's always interesting to me, like, the Wednesday night girl group. There's always one in the group that is like, I didn't want to come anyways, but this is my big night. And it's like, you're 26.
Get out of here.
Get out.
Right. Yeah.
Own what you are.
Yeah, the self-proclaimed grandma. She's annoying.
Annoying. So change locations. Proud. I left the date feeling so good. Like, yes, I finally found a nice guy after all these years. All my weary years on this earth has been spent looking for a man. I'm old, but 22.
Tis he.
We continued chatting and he began planning our next date. I heard from my friend's boyfriend that it went well, too. Then my birthday happened. Fuck birthdays. I went for drinks with all my friends. One of my friends is super chill and never gives a fuck. This is great when it's not directed towards you. In this case, her fucked up, coked out self thought, I can't believe how open
everyone is about
coke community is right now. I never knew of such a thing.
It used to be very secretive.
Right?
Coke community. Yeah, it was like a bathroom stall.
Locked doors.
Quiet thing. Now it's like, we were doing some coke and here's what happened.
I'm only bringing this up because at the live show it came up.
A couple people were talking about
openly
some drugs. Yeah.
And like
it was tough because Jared and I had to call the cops and wait for them to come and
bring them, take them away, boys.
My boyfriend thought that was like the funniest line of the night, where the girl was like, "We were actually doing coke," and you're like, "Okay, well, I'm calling the police,
bring in the police." Yeah, it was insane to me. Yeah, but I think we're similar, age ranges.
Right.
My college,
that wasn't something you like taught. That was like something you whispered about.
Totally. I'll tell you a quick story. We'll go back to this email. I remember Penn State's a drinking school. Like,
right.
Just notoriously. UVM, you're going to smoke a lot of weed. Like, there's some colleges, but then I remember, like, I walked into, I was a senior in college. So I've gone 4 years of thinking, I'm out here partying.
Right.
And I couldn't get into a room, and it was, like, locked. And I was like, okay, I'll just go away. They were like, and I was like, oh, well, I actually needed something in it. So I kept knocking and then they let me in. They're like, you cool, man?
Be cool.
Yeah. And I look around. I'm like, it was like that scene. What's the movie?
Now they just shouted from the rooftops.
That's the thing. Yeah. People, and they were like, we're doing
kids these days.
We don't want people to know. They were walking around the party being like, I don't want to be known as the guy who does this.
Right.
And then I didn't do, whatever. Like that night I didn't do it. And I was just like, wow, like, has this been happening for 4 years? And they're like, yeah, this is why every door is locked.
Right.
Like, you idiot.
Like, you're like the naive. Yeah, like, what smells like skunk in here?
Yeah. You ever see Dewey Cox?
I think I've seen parts of it.
There's a really great reoccurring joke with Tim Meadows where every time he walks in on him, he's doing a different drug throughout the years. And he goes, don't do this, Dewey. And he like yells and he's like, it's called marijuana. Don't be doing it. You know, warns him about the, it felt like that moment for me.
Anyway, this girl is very open about her friend's coke problem. Yeah,
and this fucked up coked out self thought it would be funny to add him on Instagram and like all his pics. Not funny. Not. Fuck you, Rachel. And now we're here and I'm questioning, did this friend really ruin something between the boy and me? I think yes, but all my friends think I'm overthinking it. They're totally lying. This guy thinks I'm a fucking psycho and it's this girl's fault. My question, so the friend did it for her? I'm sorry.
The friend was just like fucking around and took her phone and like followed this guy on Instagram and then liked all his pictures.
Funny to add him on it. Did she, the friend didn't add him?
No, she added, she added him from
her phone.
Yeah.
Okay. I apologize and tried to play off his joke when I brought up that date we were planning. He kind of was like, I don't know what my work schedule is looking like. Bullshit. You started work 5 minutes ago and you're 23, so you're not important. I know. So now I like that she went from I've been single all these years to you're 23, you're not important. The guy at 23 is a young idiot.
Right.
So now I wonder, is this dead? All I can do now is laugh at the fact that this happened and vow never drink margaritas on a work night with friends who likes drugs more than me. Do we laugh at this or do we give it some real tough love? Sincerely, the gal not making it to day two. What do you think?
Here's the thing. I think it's like that creepy romantic thing that we're talking about. If this guy was like into her and then her friend did that, he would think it was like kind of funny and like be a little into it.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that like he was probably on the fence and then like he was like, oh, this is like, I'm getting more attention from this girl in this way and it's kind of annoying me more than like making me excited is probably a sign that I'm not that into her.
Yeah.
I think if you were really into someone, you wouldn't really like be like creeped out by that, would you?
Here's the thing. I wouldn't be creeped out if I was really into someone, but I'd also, I don't think guys would be pushed away in the way that you're saying. Like if someone liked all my pictures, I'd be like, oh, that's funny and whatever.
Right.
I don't think one had to do with the other. I don't think she doesn't get date two because drugged out friend. Yeah.
Right.
I think she was never getting date two. This is the guy. She wants to blame the guy being a guy who wants to fuck.
That's what I'm saying. I think she's all anxious. Friend. Like, oh my God, I fucked up so much. Like my friend did this and everything is ruined. Whereas like if the guy, like if it were like actually going to work out, like this wouldn't matter.
Yeah, but also the guy was going to do this, was going to say, I don't know my work schedule either way.
Right. That's what, we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, we're
like he's saying he like had this, he's like not more or less into it because of this thing.
They met, they hooked up. He went away. They found each other on a dating app. Then they went on a drunken date that went real long and fun.
Right.
And then he was like, I don't know about day two. To me, this guy was going to keep appearing and disappearing to come to the blowjob factory.
Right. He wasn't really like if she's looking at his actions, he was never really putting in any serious effort. I could see if it was like he was like planning all these dates and doing all this like and texting her constantly and like really like seemed like really obsessed with her. And then her friend did this. I could see where she might be like, oh, my God, this is like so embarrassing. I like didn't play it cool. But this guy, if you look at all his actions, he wasn't really like. He wasn't showing you that he was really looking for anything other than a hookup anyway.
One great date doesn't mean more than one great date to me.
One great date can be like, can make you feel hopeful.
Absolutely.
And make you feel like in that emotionally masturbating kind of way. Like you're kind of just like, this is like, I feel like this is like, that went really well. Like my mind is now racing to all the things that like, that could be from this.
Yeah, well, a great date on like, yeah, I understand that.
Mm-hmm. But you have to not think about things in that sense in either way. Like if something negative happens, like this isn't like you're going to be alone forever.
Totally.
If something positive happens, don't say he's perfect. He's my future husband. Like that sort of like jumping to like conclusions and consequences really it takes you out of the moment one and like makes you not see things like, for what they really are.
Absolutely. And I'll say, when I was 23, a great Thursday night date meant a fun Saturday night text.
Right. That was because you weren't looking to like.
Absolutely. Right. So like this dude, you know, I'm surprised, you know, that he didn't.
Right. Just be because like, hey. A date is good doesn't mean he's not just looking to hook up.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything. It could be either way. But I would always be like, OK, well, now we're opened up. What do you. I would end those dates that were like the 3-bar Thursday date with what's your plan this weekend? And then they were like, well, I have a birthday Friday, Saturday. I'm going to drink during the day, watch the game. Oh, I'm going to watch a game, too. I'll be there. Like, we should hang.
Right.
And it opened it up to like, I think second date casual is kind of what a lot of guys at that point are looking for.
Like first date, we go out and we have a good time. And then like second date, like you just come over and we hook up.
Not even that. Or I meet you at a bar that you're already at.
Okay.
I could always play that right. move.
Yeah. Again, if you want to date the guys who were like more serious and more like ready for like the real dating experience, you might want to go older.
You want to go older. I also don't think it's bad.
But this girl has been single for years.
How will she go on? Right. I don't think it's bad to like to say, what are your plans this weekend? Have the guy go, hey, like I feel
it's
like
not bad, but it's clearly not what she's looking for. It's tough to be a 22-year-old dating 22-year-old.
Yeah.
Because like the expectations are really are pretty different. I think once girls leave college, they're like, okay, like I'd like to.
Sure.
A lot of them anyway are kind of like, I'd like a different kind of experience than what I had in college, which was the guy being like, oh, come over to my frat and watch the game.
But you can have that different experience and also still be 22. Mm-hmm. So like to this girl where it's like, I do think more girls have to open themselves up to the casualness of like, hey, I'll go meet up. You're watching the game this weekend. I got a friend's watching the game too. We should bring our friends together and have fun. Mm-hmm. And then not go home with them. I think there's power in hanging out without going home.
Right. Yeah. It's
and just because people, he thinks he's going to go
home. A lot
of
people just don't want to put themselves in that situation of like, because they don't trust themselves. And I get that. If you're drinking a lot, sometimes you make a decision where you go home with someone. Maybe you like you didn't want to play it that way. You didn't want it to be like that.
And if you can't trust yourself, then you
then
shouldn't
don't go. Yeah. I'm saying if you know that you can hold yourself together enough that you can make a very logical decision at the end of the night of like, this won't make me happy tomorrow. I'm just going to go home, which is kind of hard to do when your activity is like you're at a bar drinking and the guy is buying
Coke friend.
And the guy is buying you drink and your friend has all these bags of Coke just it's easy to make a decision that you're not, but I agree with you. There's no harm in going and hanging out with someone in a casual way. I just think the issue for a lot of girls is that they do that and they wind up doing something because they're like a little drunk that they wish they wouldn't have done the next day and then they feel bad about it.
And my advice to those people and just telling you from a guy's perspective is that there's no greater power than a girl you're attracted to laughing in your face about a hookup, but still being interested.
Okay.
So like if I'm like we should go home and she's like you fucking idiot, that's not happening. I'm sleeping on Jessica tonight.
Right. Because I think we're sharing. Girls are afraid of seeming like they're like, you know, rude or whatever. But
be you fucking rude.
Yeah.
I'm saying like that. As a guy, and this is just me like I'm just telling you the reality of like that hangout, this guy needs to be trained a little bit. You can either be the lion tamer or you can find an older dude.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Your choice.
You're fighting your own instincts though, because you want it. The hard part about being a girl in this situation is like, yeah, you do want to go home with this mm-hmm. guy. You do, but it's like, but you also want it to lead somewhere. So it's like, it's a conflicting thing. You don't want to go home with him before you know if it leads somewhere, because then you're making yourself be open to getting a little more hurt than you would otherwise.
Yeah.
So I get the conflict, because it's not like, oh, like I don't want to go home, so I'm not go. It's like you're kind of have to fight your own. It's like when there's a big pizza in front of you and you're on a diet. You're like, I'm gonna feel bad about this tomorrow.
I guess I don't think of it that way because
I'm putting myself in the pizza place. Mm-hmm. Like I probably shouldn't do this. I want to, but I don't want to. Do you know what I mean?
It's in my mind, when the girl's like, I don't want to go home with you, she's like not as tempted by the sex as I am.
Yeah.
I guess I don't think of it that way.
Well, she wants to play like the long game.
I made this joke last night, but I think that's why we got to bring back hand jobs.
Do guys like hand jobs?
No, but at least we're in the game. At least you've cleared your head without being inside of someone.
That's fair.
And I think like that could help a lot of these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get be like, all right, he got off and now he's like, I guess we can
hang. But it wasn't like, oh, like she gave it, like, I feel like it's not as intimate as sex, so you probably won't feel quite as.
And the girl can not feel as like fucked over. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, we'll have to explore that one.
We should explore
in a different episode. Hey, J&J, love the podcast. Been telling everyone I know, single or in a relationship, that they need to listen. I was hoping to get your guys' opinion on a situation I've been struggling with. My ex of 5 years and I broke up in late January, so obviously this isn't super recent. He's since gotten into a new relationship very quickly, I might add. Interesting smiley face. I don't know what you'd call that one. And I can't seem to get myself to stop thinking about him and stalking her public Instagram. The breakup is pretty mutual, so we decided to stay connected on social media, and we have a ton of mutual friends, so I'm worried about burning bridges. Any tips on how to mend a curious and broken heart? Sincerely, just want to get over my fucking ex.
This sucks. I'm sorry for her.
That sucks, yeah. Because it's like, because when you follow an ex on social media that you're not 100% over, which you're clearly not.
Yeah.
It's like every time you see something, it's like a little twinge of pain. It's like a little sting. It's
she
like
should unfollow.
You should unfollow. It's not personal. It's not because you think he's a bad guy. If he asks you about the unfollow, or you can even preempt that with like, hey, like, it's okay to like admit that you're like a little hurt by something. Be like, hey, like, I'm trying to move on. I kind of find it hard when I see all your stuff on social media. So yeah. I'm just going to like unfollow you. I think like that's not necessarily a permanent thing, and I wish you luck, and it's not like I'm mad at you, but I just rather not see this stuff.
An unfollow doesn't have to be a hateful thing,
right?
And we get this type of question a lot, where it's like, where, you know, what will they think? This is for you.
Right.
Unfollow is like personal medication. And
people, I feel like, don't want to admit that they don't want to seem like they're like more hurt than they are. And you know what I mean? That's like a kind of a thing you just need to get over, because it's not a bad thing to be hurt. You're in a 5-year relationship. It's not like a bad thing. It's not like, doesn't make you a crazy psycho that you're having a little trouble seeing things from someone that you had like an intimate relationship with for 5 years.
It's also not fucking weird to be curious.
Yeah, that's also true. Like everyone looks. Like,
everyone looks, and also we just have the tools.
Right. It doesn't make you like a loser that you keep looking. Like,
no.
Everyone does that.
I'm looking at new exes with their new guys. I'm looking at the weddings. I'm looking at everything. Yeah.
I have to say, there is no greater gift than like someone who is private on Instagram that you use that after a breakup, them being private, you unfollow, you forget about them very fast.
It's very different.
Right.
It's very,
if they're public,
different.
You can still kind of like go and do that thing. But if they're private and you unfollow them, you're taking yourself out of the game.
Totally.
And you're really allowing yourself to move on and not think about this person constantly.
And try it for a month. See how you feel.
Yeah.
Like that's like the, and the, I feel for her because guys do move on this way. I'm sure the breakup wasn't, she says we were mutual, it was pretty mutual. Whatever this breakup or the reasons he gave, I'm not ready, I'm busy, you're busy. It was just that we're not the match.
Right.
And so now she's going, she's looking at his profile. Oh, you know, I guess he wasn't too busy for this girl. She must be great. That's not what it is.
Right. And you come to all these conclusions when Instagram is like a complete lie.
Total
Everything
lie.
You see, you now blow up into this whole picture of how they're so happy and why weren't you good enough and what's
going on
with
her. But your breakup was a lie. That's my point.
But this relationship could be a lie too. You don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe
everything
it is.
Like, there's no way to know what someone else is thinking or whatever what someone else is doing. And by seeing stuff, you're only letting yourself like imagine all the possibilities.
But my point. We want to look at all these relationships like they're a lie. They're not as in love as they say they are. Look at them fucking losers. They got together and she doesn't
all
look
we
good.
We have, Jared.
I think the healthier way for her to go is to go, we were never going to be together.
Right.
Whatever reasons we broke up. Yeah, but
that's a lot more painful than being
yeah, but I think that pain will let her move on quicker.
That's probably true. Yeah, she has to go like the shorter, more painful route.
Yeah.
Better to be short and more painful than the elongated, like, this is bullshit relationship thing. Like, you just, I think I stand corrected. I think your move is right.
I just think, like, if you, just the move of looking back at the breakup and going, because right now she's thinking to herself, I thought he was busy. He must have not been too busy for her. She's pitting herself against this picture, which you're right. This picture that's an illusion of how happy they are.
Right.
We don't know how happy they are. We don't know how cool she is. It's not you versus her.
Right.
It's not you versus him. It's not, that's not what this is all about.
It's about your mental energy and you moving on and you just realizing that this wasn't right for you. And,
yeah.
And,
not and, the match.
Yeah. And it's totally, like we've said this before, like it is encouraged and highly okay to unfollow someone that you used to date. It's unnatural to be able to see where the person you used to date is doing at all times. And it's not healthy.
I think mutual, she writes, the breakup was pretty mutual. I think that's worse breakup than getting...
Yeah, that's harder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't have something to lean on in times of weakness.
Yes.
Too. Because and I have so many friends who are like, they want to break up with a guy and they're like, I've heard people say this, like, I wish he had like cheated on me.
Yeah.
I wish he had like done something so terrible that I could just like, I could never go back. And I've had guys that I tried to break up with, but I kept going back to or that I like felt I had this on again, off again thing with. And it's because you're like, it's not working.
Yeah.
But like, there's nothing that you can, there's nothing that was done that was so terrible that you can be like, whenever you're feeling down, you're like, oh, well, like he's an asshole. He did this thing.
To me, this is a mathematical equation too. We have more, we live longer. You know, if you want to look at the math of it and take the emotion out of it.
Right.
We live longer than we ever have. The age at first marriage is 4 years or something like that. I looked at the stat. The age at first marriage is like 4 years older than it was 20 years ago.
Right.
So now you have four extra years. Four extra years to be disappointed by somebody. Four extra years to meet really nice people that aren't the one.
Take it as a gift.
Absolutely.
The gift of modern dating.
The gift of this podcast.
Yeah.
You indeed. Up every single week. Keep sending your emails.
We'll be right back with Corinne Fisher from Guys We Fucked.
We'll be right back.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And you always have the option to buy what you love. For sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code UUP20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code UUP20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code UUP20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hello, welcome back. Super excited to have a very special guest to join us for the weird sexual moment of the week and some games. So funny, super funny comic, has her own podcast called Guys We Fucked. Also, another podcast called Two Less Lonely Girls. Corinne Fisher, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. We had to bring you on for... the weird sexual moment of the week. I feel like this is your wheelhouse.
Yes.
I feel like the anti-slut shaming podcast, you guys know her from that podcast, Guys We Fucked, and you might know her from Two Less Lonely Girls. Explain the new podcast for the
explain
listeners.
Both podcasts, I think, okay. Just for those unaware.
No problem. So Guys We Fucked, that's been going on for how long? Like almost 5 years at this point. And we started interviewing guys that we had actually slept with to learn more about ourselves. It's kind of like a social experiment. My comedy partner, Christina Hutchinson, and myself. And then it kind of just naturally transitioned into an open forum for like post-secret type sex, like kinks and secrets that people were hiding or felt ashamed of. It's a very shame-based podcast, and we try to eradicate shame. People love their shame. So that's what, and we've interviewed all kinds of people. We do like John Ronson, who has a great book about shame, to like Amber Rose, who we all know from Slutwalk, and then just being a public person.
Have you heard of Brene Brown?
Yes.
She has that whole shame book. I just read it. I loved it.
I used her as a reference for the book that I wrote because she had a lot of great things to say about shame, because everything, like I did a whole chapter on shame in our book, and like just shame is everything. And I actually am someone who hasn't felt a lot of shame, which I feel like my life in terms of sexuality has been a lot easier than most people, because everyone's very concerned with what everyone else thinks
right?
But I don't really, there's no purpose point in that.
Now, like the whole shame thing, like, do you think it's like broadened too much? Is there a point where it's like things are being called shame where you're like, you know, like accusing people of shaming others, and like, you know, it, like shame has become, you know, in the last few years, like, kind of a talking point.
Well, it's kind of been ruined the same way like the word feminism has been a little bit ruined. I call it like forever 21-ing it.
Okay.
So it's like we've forever 21-ed feminism because we're just like slapping it on t-shirts and tote bags, but we're not actually like living by what feminism is. And the same thing goes for shame. It's just like anytime someone says something negative about you, it's not shame. Shame does have a place and a purpose. And also, you can really only be shamed if you allow yourself to be shamed. Huh. So like, you are a participant in your own shame.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I just am not shamed, because it's like I'm not allowing it. The wall is up, so you can't do it.
No one can shame you without your consent.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I think it was like Adam Carolla, like, was always like if you make fun of me for something I'm not, then I don't get offended.
Right.
But if I feel like he's like, his thing is like, if you call me fat, I won't get mad because I'm not fat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you call me something that like hits home for me.
Right. I'm only offended by it because I feel that it's a little bit true. That I feel like there's some truth in what you're saying, so it hurts more.
Yeah. And I guess now there's like more outlets to say, well, now you can put like the umbrella of shame on something, and everyone's like, well, we have to agree with that.
Well, and every critique of something is not shame. Like, there is a place and a reason that critique exists. It's so that we can better ourselves. So sometimes, especially if you do something terrible, like, you should be shamed, but I think it needs to like correlate to whatever you did.
You know what? Yeah. You know what's interesting? We just did a live show. This is the day after let people out from behind the curtains.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do the weird sexual moment of the week. But it was interesting. There was one person, I don't know if it's out yet or whatever, but one person at the show was like, oh, I have to tell my weird sexual moment of the week. And then she tells this story. And the story was just basically, the guy couldn't get up and tried to have sex with her while soft.
It's like that's happened to everyone.
Yeah. And
maybe not you, Jared.
That's not that crazy.
Never me. I'm hard all the time.
Oh, no, I meant no one ever tried to fuck you with a soft cock.
Well, you don't know me that well. So I you know, it was interesting because then people were like, what?
Mm-hmm.
That story stinks.
Yeah.
She got mad, like, at everyone else.
Right. And for not like thinking the story was as crazy as she did.
Like, and we were all just like, no. And it was like, and you could tell that there was like an anger at us for like being like, I think he's okay. You know, you know, and we're just like, and like, you know, that's her relating, oh fuck, my story, now I'm going to take it out on everyone else.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, it's interesting to me that like now there are these buzzwords that are out there that like almost protect shitty people using the buzzwords.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, just like you said, the Forever 21 thing is a perfect way to put it, because you're like, oh, well, I'm a feminist. You know, it's like when a mom goes, well, as a mother, and now she can say whatever the fuck she wants.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you don't have a doctorate.
Right.
You know,
or like, you're not living that, you're not like the ultimate.
Yeah.
And also most people are just stupid.
Fair.
Just dum-dums.
So why do you, like, what causes you to not have this shame, like, or what do you think?
I'm not sure, because it's always been that way. I think it was probably like my parenting, because the one thing I've learned is that I'm really lucky and I have like pretty sane parents who did a good job, and that I
what's
know
that like
yeah and I know almost no one has, so I feel like I fucking hit the lottery. Like my dad just had a birthday and I legit thanked him sincerely for not molesting me. Like,
that's
wow. I was like, thank you very much,
low, but,
you did it.
For not molesting me. I sincerely appreciate it.
Good work.
Yeah, but we were just like, we lived in a house where it wasn't, just like you weren't getting dressed or doing anything for anybody else. Like, it was expected of us to get straight A's. We weren't trying to like dress in the latest, you know, fashion designs or whatever. Not that we were going, like, we just looked normal or dress however you want. Like, mm-hmm. I just always went, walked to the beat of my own drum.
And it's so yeah. funny that like, but like back to the shame thing where you're like, we're expected to get straight A's. Like, that's a normal thing for parents to expect. That's a nice thing for them to expect.
Right.
Like, someone now could be like, I do not be shame me.
Yeah, right. Well, I was that's the one thing I was definitely be shamed in the house.
Yeah, but that's good parenting. They're just like, yeah. we know this will be good
she
for you at some point.
Sexually shamed, yeah. right?
I was not yeah. sexually.
No,
shamed.
No, I think that's a thing that a lot of women grow up with. If you're kind of like, if your parents are like concerned with like what your body looks like or what you're doing mm-hmm. sexually or what, and that girls get that a lot more than guys. I assume.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
right. But I think that if you don't have that, it definitely makes you less self-conscious or less worried about other people think, because you're just like, I'm allowed to just do me and I'm supported no matter what.
Yeah. I it's got to be tough for a dad. Like, I don't know. What do you even say? Like, dads just have to like shut up. And then like, how do you even like, I don't know. You talk about like a dad wondering about his, like bringing home the, like a girl bringing home her new boyfriend. And mm-hmm. you're like, I don't know how I would react. I don't know how I would hope that I would be the do it the right way. But it's like such a tight wire. I have a empathy for a dad, just like doofy, grew up with dudes his whole life, has no idea what to say or do. And then he says the one thing. It's like, oh, now you've judged the whole fucking situation. You're an asshole. Like, I mean,
I think it's just like, as long as you're not someone who's like, I'm going to greet you on the porch with a gun if you try. Right. My daughter's not home by 10 p.m.
Yeah.
I'll find you fingering her in a car. You know, like that kind of thing. Don't
What's
be
the
like
time?
That.
11 p.m.? I don't know, like, when can they come home? I don't know.
I mean, I think it's also about like respecting your daughter and knowing that she can make good decisions for herself and for her own body if you've set her up with the tools to do so.
Yeah, I guess it's a lot like stand up. It's like when people are like, good luck tonight. And you're like, yeah, I've done this every night. If you've done the right things every night for the past whatever many right. years,
it's not about
tonight, you know, like, yeah, your daughter, if you've done the right things leading up to that moment,
yeah,
they're going to be fine going out, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm. right.
How, tell us about Two Less Lonely Girls.
Two Less Lonely Girls is an adult podcast for Justin Bieber fans, aka Beliebers.
Okay.
I know it's very interesting because people are always like, this sounds like a terrible, like so many people who listen to Guys We Fucked mm-hmm. when I announced it were like, this sounds like a terrible idea. And I was like, just give it a chance. I fucking know what I'm doing. I did run a Spice Girls e-zine called Wannabe Weekly for 5 years. I think I have a grasp on this. And it's co-hosted by myself and Rosebud Baker, who's an amazing comedian. And we just, it's like 30 minutes or less every week where we just barf pop culture and we talk a lot about celebrity, but specifically using Justin Bieber as a jumping off point mm-hmm. because as we've discovered in the podcast, all roads do lead back to Justin Bieber.
He's the star of this universe.
He is. And in this time, we were like 22 episodes in this time, we have met Justin Bieber.
You met him.
We've met Haley. Yeah, I chased him down the street. I mean, like, oh, not so in a scary way.
You didn't, like, he wasn't, like, on. You were just, like, kind of found him and stalked him and got him.
I have one of my friends from high school is a paparazzi. Or paparazzo. Wow.
Do they call themselves that? Is that like
the... He calls himself a street journalist.
Okay.
Adam
yeah,
Glenn. Figured,
right. Yeah, Adam Glenn. Yeah. So he went to my high school.
Yeah. I know Adam.
And he, when he found out that our love for Justin Bieber, he just kept texting me. And I was in like the New York Comedy Club green room one night. And he's like, Corinne, where are you right now? And I texted Rosebud and we surrounded him, but not in a scary way. We hid behind brick walls because Justin Bieber is, you have to treat him delicately.
He's like, yeah,
he's literally like a shakes squirrel. When you meet him. I feel so bad.
Really?
Yeah. So I approached him very calmly, but we met him, we met Haley, found out where Haley lives, interviewed her neighbors. Yeah, it's gone real wow. far. It's like
wow.
it's for the deep cycle within you.
But yeah. then you relate it to all other pop culture.
Well,
and stuff
celebrity
like that.
I'm like obsessed with celebrity and how it affects people.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm like internet famous. I'm like a Tila Tequila level okay. is what I call it.
Good work.
And so it's this weird place where it's just just like, I'm not unknown, but I'm not famous. And it's not good. I don't like it. It feels bad. And so it kind
why
of like,
it why feel does bad? It
do, would you rather be like one or the other? Is it because it feels bad to be in the middle?
I don't, I'm a really private person. Mm-hmm. And I think in retrospect, this was a terrible career path for me.
You didn't realize.
Well, you're too good at, isn't that suck when you're too good at something, but it's destroying your life?
I love stand up, but like, I just like, it freaks me out. Like when people come up to me and I'm not expecting it, cause I feel like I always have to be like on guard. Everyone's usually pretty nice,
yeah.
But I'm just like, the power of like a 22-year-old woman approaching you with all her energy is something I just had never experienced before. Being a straight gal, like,
yeah.
Right. I just never knew what we were capable of, really.
It's interesting. Like, you know, that's a part of the job that is, you don't really think about.
Yeah, and I don't get laid, so it's not like, you know, it's just, it sucks. It's like, I'm getting all my friends laid. I'm getting laid less, if anything, because I'm the town bicycle now.
What do you mean, the town bicycle?
Well, once everyone knows you're a whore, I mean, like, slut shaming, like, it's like something we talk about a lot, but like, it's not like people are like fucking sluts more, you know?
Interesting.
They're just like, oh, they're sluts and they're okay with it. But
yeah.
Well, does it add a layer? Okay, so because you're kind of well known, or you're known for that, does it make it so like, are you on guard for guys who are like trying to get that experience of like this semi-famous?
Oh, 100%. But usually, right? Usually only like, you know, non-performers aren't doing that, but comics for sure. You can't trust them.
Yeah, all the comics
happening for years.
Are they coming after you?
Yeah, I'm like, if you just want to be on the podcast, just ask me. Like, please don't make me look at your nasty ass dick.
Please don't seduce me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is news to me.
Yeah. Oh my
god. Can you please tell people it wasn't me?
No, Jared and I.
Tell the audience. I haven't sent any dicks.
Jared has always been very respectful. We have a very non-sexual, friendship-only relationship.
Absolutely,
that's great.
And I was on Guys We Fucked. I think that's a good way to like enter into it if you haven't. Way back when.
Well, just be interesting and have something to say, or yeah, have like a unique perspective on sexuality. Like, you don't have to fuck me anymore. That was a long time ago.
Just come right on.
You've evolved. The podcast has evolved since then.
Please don't fuck me, in fact. Please stay away from me.
But two Less Lonely Girls. It's a fun podcast. Corinne's been on my show a bunch of times, so, and she's fantastic and funny, and you should all go subscribe and check it out. And what I like about Two Less Lonely Girls is like, that's a fun break from, you know,
the Me Too movement.
Whatever.
That's why
movement.
I started.
Okay, yeah. So of all the things.
Breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
You just need 30 minutes a week to talk about how Post Malone and Justin Bieber might be the same vocalist.
There we go. Two Less Lonely Girls. Go subscribe at Philanthropy Girl on
Gal.
I always fuck that up.
Okay.
At Philanthropy Gal on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow. Go support. Let's do
a weird sexual experience.
Let's do it.
Awkward sexual. Is it weird or awkward?
It says weird here. We said awkward.
It's both weird and awkward.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Hey guys, my friends and I listen to your podcast all the time, and they keep telling me I need to send this ridiculous story to you guys. So here it goes. I'm recently single from a 4-year relationship. My ex-boyfriend was absolutely horrible to me, and needless to say, I'm glad it's over. That being said, I've been letting loose, doing my thing, and been going out with my girlfriends frequently. One night we went to a local popular bar. The DJ at the bar this night used a DJ at a club I frequented a lot when I was younger, and I hadn't seen him in about 7 years. My friends and I are dancing near the DJ booth.
I'm already on guard when I hear this. The she's a part of the DJ community.
She's in on the DJ scene.
Yeah.
Tapped on my shoulder by some guy, and he waves me over to the DJ booth. With that, the DJ leans over to me and says, I look familiar. Where does he know me from? So I tell him I used to go to the club he DJ'd at years ago.
Oh my God.
It's the DJ community. He remembered and thought
you
it was
were in the other fedora.
He remembered and thought it was awesome to see an old schooler out. He ends up having his people buy me a few drinks throughout the night, and asks me if I want to grab a drink after and to stick around after his set. He's cute and seems to be cool, so I agreed. The night continues. I send my friends home without me, and the DJ and I get drunk together and end up back at his place.
Hey-o.
We start fooling around, which leads to sex. We're fucking, and he starts talking dirty to me. I'm with it, so I start talking back, and then it starts getting weird. He starts role-playing. He asks me to pretend he's married, and his wife walks in on us, but wants to join in. Now, the sex...
This is so funny that he stops the whole thing. When he's like, here's your script.
Pretend, yeah. Happened for you.
Okay, you're into this? Here's the script.
The director's coming soon.
Yeah.
Now, the sex was very good, so in my head, I'm like, this is kind of weird, but whatever, I'm drunk, just go with it. Mid-fuck, he starts telling me about how he fantasized about fucking his ex and her little sister at the same time. Now I'm like, okay, this is getting really weird. Still fucking. He proceeds to ask me if I have siblings. I tell him, yeah, I have a brother and a sister, and he says, what he says next shook me to the core. He says, pretend I'm your big brother and I'm fucking the shit out of you. I literally pushed him off of me and said, what the fuck? He immediately snaps out of it like he had no recollection of what he just said. I said, nope, sorry, just gotta go. The Uber price surge at that hour was 4 times the amount it should be, but I couldn't put a price on needing to get the fuck out of there. Got back to my friend's apartment and woke her up out of dead sleep because I just couldn't believe what I just experienced. Needless to say, he DJs at this place weekly. My friends and I now joke and call him Big Brother. LOL. I've also told this story to a handful of people who know him, and now a lot of people know what kind of closet incest freak this guy is. Hope this story gave you a shock and a good laugh. Love you guys. The involuntary little sister.
What do we think of this move?
Okay, well, number one, never fuck a DJ. So
that's our first mistake.
I don't want to blame you. I don't want to victim blame. And then number two, I mean, I hate this is, again, like, this isn't just not that weird. Incest porn is one of the highest searched categories of porn. Yeah.
Statistically. It's always like not little sister.
Is it step?
I mean, they are including step. I don't include step as like really full. I mean, to me, that's not even full incest. but incest porn is like super, super popular. And so, I mean, I think it's just like when you're dirty talking, that doesn't necessarily mean you actually want to fuck your own sibling. It's just a kink that you got from porn. Because a lot of people are just like scrolling through porn, finding something like they like and doing it. A lot of the stuff I like in porn, I don't really like. I watch Mormon porn. I don't actually want to like go and fuck a bunch of Mormon girls. Yeah. But I just like that.
Is
kind
it
of
like
porn.
A polygamy kind of thing? Like
It's more like it's, I would be into that, but that I have to search that. It's more like usually like the head of the Mormon church and then like younger girls who go to the church and then they all have sex.
Got it.
Mormon girls with a Z.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. It's interesting now with like, I mean, the categories keep growing.
Right.
So like there's unlimited categories now of porn where mm-hmm. it's like, you can find anything.
Yeah, because people get bored, and then it's like, because people keep watching porn earlier and earlier in their life, and then so once you tap out or something is boring or like quote-unquote vanilla to you, you got to take it to the next level, which is why I always tell kids don't drink or do drugs until later in life, because what the fuck are you going to do when you're 32 then?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the people who have whose parents get them the BMWs at 17. There's not really much.
Yeah, you need time to
nowhere to go.
Move up, yeah.
Yeah, the girls that had the My Super Sweet 16 birthday parties are probably the most depressed girls on earth right now.
I know, where there's nowhere to go from there.
They went to Mykonos and they're like, I did this when I was 17.
Yeah.
You know, like how could this even be a surprise? Mm-hmm. What would we call this move?
I like Big Brother.
Big Brother's
fun. She already dubbed that. What do you think?
I don't know.
All in the Family?
I like that. All in the Family. I Step by Step. If you want to go.
I remember that. Those were Step. Yeah. Not as weird.
Yeah, not as weird. Oh my God. What do you think? Do you have a name for this at all? Or?
Oh, gosh. I had to think about this.
Is it a red flag or a deal breaker for you?
It's not my thing. If that was what I have sex with this person, maybe, but I don't think I would date them. It's for me, I have a lot of brothers and sisters. It would just get too weird for me.
Yeah.
Not that it should be a deal breaker for everyone. It's not a match for me.
Okay. But if this happened, I mean, the way it happened is interesting to me because he's probably thinking, well, I took one step up. You know, like he's like, she was into the dirty talk. Yeah, and then
in his defense, he did start. He started kind of casual-ish, and then he built up. He was like, okay, if she's not leaving for like the scripted, my wife is walking in on us, I'm going to try to take it to the next level. Let's see where this goes.
That's kind of the same with like the porn you're watching. You're like, okay, well, I've gone to this. Well, okay, let's see what the one above that is. Right. And it's, you know, he did it as to empathize with him, he did it as nicely as you could.
Right. I think it's just too much for a first sexual encounter with someone that she didn't really know
Sure.
You know, it's like, it's just too much at once. You gotta let, like, drip your kinks in. Like, I like choking people. I once tried choking someone on a first fuck. That did, I got kicked out.
What happened?
It started as dirty talk. And then, like, well, then he asked me, I was dirty talking with him. He tried to, like, yes and it. And so his version of dirty talk was asking me the last time that I had sex.
Mm.
And it was, the answer was yesterday. And then he didn't like that. So it just he was like, you're a freak. But I was, like, also trying to fuck someone who was, like, lived in Tribeca and was a banker. And, like, I should just not do that. That's not my type of person.
Got it.
I need to be fucking Marilyn Manson.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a match.
Not a match.
Exactly.
Tribeca guy.
The banker is not the match. Yeah. You need
Although I'm sure there's someone. I'm sure there's a girl out there who's, like, into that.
I think in the, like, because I'm reading this and I'm like, in the moment, this guy, I can understand why he was like, of course I'm going to bring up that, you know, that we're going to play catch afterwards.
And some people really can't like come if, like, they have one thing and, like, it's really going to help them come.
We were talking, like, you know, is there a good way to bring up kinks to people? Like, is there even a right way to do this?
I
don't
think it's like the first. I think the first sexual experience has to be kind of, like, general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It has to be, like, light. Vanilla.
Yeah, unless you had been friends before and you kind of know, you've had discussions before.
It's like a first date. You can't just go into the first date and say the craziest thing you've ever thought.
Got
to build into that.
You got to build into it's interesting because we live in this time of, like, people, like, they're trying to go out and fuck with no consequences. So they're trying to, like, fuck a lot of people. But then you also sprinkle in this kink shit, and it's like, well, how do I, you know, get this thing in there with someone that's brand new and never see them again? It's like, yeah, you're gonna have a lot of surprised fucking customers.
That's a good
I didn't know I showed up at the fucking dildo store. You know,
that's,
like,
a good pitch for monogamy.
Yeah, it is a good pitch for
people who aren't that into monogamy. There's at least there's someone who knows what you like. Already knows all your weird shit and knows exactly what you want.
But that's gonna be a weird thing. Like, you're married and you have to, like, go from, like, you're my little sister to, like, okay, we gotta make sandwiches for the kids.
I think that's that's the beauty of it, though. It's like, that's kind of, isn't that like the dream to have someone who can do both with?
I don't know. I don't know. Can you look at, like, have you been in relationships where you're like, you go from, like, we're having a wild sexual thing to, like, we're just normal?
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Every moment is not sexual. Like, I talk about sex so much. Like, I would say more moments are not sexual than are. But then when they are, it's like, let's concentrate on this now.
Now, this is, we're in the Thunderdome.
Yeah, when I'm having, like, I hate when other things seep into sex or, like, chatter or, like, silliness. It's like, no, thank you.
Yeah, like.
Right. It's like, I feel like with, that's like, again, like, going back to, like, the, like, that's a really good perk of monogamy. It's like when you switch jobs and you got to learn all the new systems.
Sure.
One wants to fucking do that.
Yeah, you gotta. The worst day is the first day.
Right,
yeah.
Having a lot of casual sex is like you get a new job every night. I gotta, like, figure out how this thing works.
It's funny that you bring, like, the chatter. You don't want that. I have been laughed at during sex many times.
What do you do?
And I don't know. It's just like
people
you're
are
like,
shaming you.
I'm at the next march with my poster. Laughed at mid sex.
Finger in the butt.
Finger in the butt. Please go for it. That was our last conversation. As I brought it up, we talked about this at the live show. I brought up finger in the butt, and it was like this big fucking surprise. Now I'm on the group chat.
Wait, you like finger in the butt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, that's great. I'm so glad that you're talking about that.
I'm the Rosa
manly
Park,
man like yourself.
Rosa Parks of male ass play.
Okay, perfect.
That's what I like to call myself.
There you go.
I'm preaching the word. It's bacon on a cheeseburger.
No. People are very scared of it. I'm glad that you're talking because I feel like guys will listen to you.
I talk openly about it. And I've had guys write to me like it's always like a Snapchat message where they're like, dude. You know, and also, like, I just had Chad Daniels on my podcast. And he has a great bit about it. You know, we talked about it there. But it's just trying to name more names of the bro fingers.
I'm on a list.
But it was interesting that, like, all of a sudden, the group chat is like, hilarious. And I'm like, well, okay. Good to know. Thanks, guys. Just being open and honest here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't trust your private thoughts with male comics. You know that.
No, this was a girl that I had hooked up with.
Oh, on a group chat? Okay, never mind.
See, this is the shaming.
At least you're getting talked about, right?
Yeah, that's
the worst
true.
Is when no one's talking about you.
That's right.
I think.
Is your butt clean?
Like, probably not.
No, okay, because that's my thing. I don't. I'll do anything, but I just, in my experience, I've only can think of two straight men that I've seen their butts that I would have put a finger in it had they asked.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the
inspection first?
Yeah. What's, I mean, like when you fuck someone, you could see their ass. There's a lot of stuff that just going on back there. That I mean, like my ass is clean. Like I could go, I could like wipe a sandwich in there right now and feel very comfortable eating it.
Really?
Wow. Uh huh. It's very clean.
It's a hot day.
What's the litmus test?
No, it's good.
Well, yeah. What is the litmus test now though?
I mean, just like if there, how much, like, is there enough, so much hair that I can't see what's going on?
Yes.
Is there ever anything like in your underwear? Like, I mean,
how's
like,
your underwear look?
So, yeah, it's real. Yeah, there's a lot of, is there a smell that I can smell like when I'm like at your lower back?
Sure.
If I can smell anything at that point.
You should write a book on how to tell if it's okay to go back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some,
it's a checklist.
Do the balls smell? Is worse than ass smell. Ooh, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really try not to get around smell.
Like, I'm just imagining you looking at someone going, nah, shower time.
Yeah.
You know, get in there and then, you know, come on out.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Let's play some games.
Let's do it.
Here with Corinne Fisher at Philanthropy Gal on Twitter and Instagram. Also, Two Less Lonely Girls. Go check out that podcast. Super fun, super funny. Go check it out. You ready?
Yep.
We do a thing called Red Flag Deal Breaker.
Okay.
Okay. Everything's perfect with this guy or girl,
mm-hmm.
whoever you're with. But then this thing happens.
Okay.
Is it a red flag and you're like, noted, but I'm going to stick it out? Or is it a deal breaker where you're like, fuck this shit?
There's no I like it.
No, there is.
You can say I like it
that's
too.
That's the third option.
Okay.
Not
okay.
Encouraged, but allowed.
Okay.
Most of them, you're not going to like it.
Okay.
So, you want to read them?
All right. So they're either pregnant or they got someone pregnant from a one-night stand that they're like 1 month in.
We're one month into dating?
So it's either like if you're the girl, she's a month pregnant from a one-night stand.
Okay.
Or if it's a guy, he has some girl that he just got pregnant.
Oh, I mean, deal breaker for me.
You're out?
She's a month pregnant and we're on a date and I'm like, everything's perfect. Then she's like, I have to tell you something. I'm a month pregnant. I would be like, it's the month that really like
just because
kills
it's one
it.
Month?
Yeah, because you're like, you got things to do.
Like,
you got like clerical work.
Here.
Yeah, there's things that you have to work out that you shouldn't be, to me, and I know this is super judgy, but like, maybe now's not the time to date.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe you have to like talk to this guy, maybe work it out, like try, or also maybe like, you know, there's things going on there that like the month.
What if it's 6 months? Is that better?
No.
She's already bought all the baby shit.
She's got the room ready. Yeah, 6 months. I think the kid should... you'd have to be like super with when someone has a kid. Like, I don't think I would not date someone with a kid, but I'm saying when they have a kid or they're having a kid, I want to know, like, are you all set here? Like, have you made the bed? You right. know, like, have you figured out weekends, how you're going to split up the time? Like, I don't want to be involved with that.
That's
I want
fair.
That to be so squared away that you're like, okay, good to date
you
now.
Already got you the routine. Barely see the kid yeah. walk up in the hallway.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like a little ghost. What about you? You go out with a guy, he's single, but he just got this girl pregnant a month ago.
Deal breaker.
You're out.
Deal breaker. Absolutely.
Is it that he's just like, well, if here's the thing, the irresponsibility of him being like, you, like, it's the same to me as like, wouldn't you think that guy is just like,
I wouldn't, you know, accidents happen.
Sure.
That's not, but I'm just like, I just don't, same with you. I just don't, there's too many people in the world to have to put up with that, especially at like age 32. Like, I'm not, I'm just not, there's no reason. Right. Like, if I'm going to put up with like having a kid, it's going to be my own kid.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't want the hassle and none of the reward.
Yeah.
That's true.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, like, this isn't an ABC sitcom.
Would you guys date someone with kids?
For me,
At this point, no.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think I would have to have kids of my own to want to, like you said, like to want to date someone who was about to have a kid or was with a kid, just because, like you said, it's like all of the annoying shit without like any of the reward of it being your actual kid.
Yeah.
But if I already had kids, it's like whatever. It's like the marginal, diminishing marginal child. Whatever.
The stepdad thing is like, I had a buddy who got into a relationship with someone who had a kid, and it was like, you're just like, man, you are a fucking hero. Like, mm-hmm. to me, like, I was like, look at, you're doing, you're going to games that, like, you have not, and, like, now it's, like, his kid. You know right. what I mean?
People with kids should date other people with kids.
Oh, they should do the step, I
do
mean, back to step by step.
Do they have a peoplewithkidsmeet.com or something?
They gotta should. Have that.
It's also difficult, like, being a comic, our schedules are already so hard to, like, meet up with people already. Mm-hmm. Like, to add a kid in there's just gonna be no time during the week to possibly meet up.
For sure. And just the idea of like, I gotta be like, hey man, you're not my dad. Like, then, like that whole
you're
like, fight where you're like, you're right. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know where
I
came
should
from.
Just go.
Yeah.
All right, we got one more. It's so they suspect there might be a burglar or an intruder in your home,
mm-hmm.
and their first thought is they run into the closet without you.
How long have we been dating?
You've been dating 2 months.
it'd be a big red flag. I don't know. I would just think they're kind of a pussy. I wouldn't be so hurt that they ran in without me, but just like that was their reaction.
To run?
Yeah.
In general.
Like a man in general.
Right.
It's not great.
What are you doing? Are you in or are you out?
I think I might be out just because I'd be like, okay, like I can't depend on you.
Yeah. There's like, a movie about
you're
this.
You're going
to
run.
Yeah. There's like an actual movie
Is
about
there?
This where... I don't know. I think it was like a foreign film. I only know books and movies by one line descriptions.
Ooh.
But I think the movie was about and someone will tweet at me about this. There was an avalanche and they get stuck in this house, and it's like I think it was like a Finnish movie, but it like came over here. It was like a big time thing.
Finnish movie.
Like an avalanche or something happens, and like the husband just like freaks out,
just runs away,
and,
okay.
like, and now he's seen in this whole new light from the wife, where it's like this was the
right.
husband. I
well,
you were
like, it's like now right. I know exactly yeah. what you're made of.
I'm so afraid to be seen in one of these situations.
Are you like, what do you think you would do?
I would hope. I don't know. That's the thing. Like, we all want to think that we're going to be like the most powerful person in all these situations. Like, if you look at how people yell at people on Twitter and Instagram,
right. Oh God,
you know, like you would think like, I don't know how I would act in all these situations. And I would hope that I would be like, listen, little lady, back it up. Let me get the axe. I got this.
Would you be offended if she ran into the closet without
you?
No,
I would be like, okay, well, good luck to me. I guess no room in there for me. I'll just be out here getting killed.
Well, Titanic taught us anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how I would be, and I don't know. And for the girl, it would be a red flag. I'd just be like, I guess.
Be like, excuse me.
Yeah. I feel like the male equivalent is like, I'm trying to think of the male equivalent of like when you see that happen, you're like, oh, this person isn't with me.
Maybe it's like you get sick and she's just like, all right, I gotta get out of here.
Peace.
Like,
yeah.
Sick. There are people two different reactions to people getting sick. I feel like some people are like, oh, what can I get you? And that person's like, I don't want to get sick. I'm gonna get the fuck out of here.
When a girl I'm with gets sick, all I want them to do is just ask for things. I don't like when they do the I'm sick and this hurts and that hurts, and I go, I don't know. Can I do something?
You want to
just give me some direction? Yeah. Yeah, just give me a task that will help you out. Because a lot of women go to so many more doctors and have so many more things than I would ever have. Mm-hmm. That like, and I don't even know the doctor. I've said this before. I don't even know my doctor's names. Women have this like catalog of doctors that they're like friends with and know the names, and like I'm getting checked out behind a dumpster in an alleyway, and it's like, uh-oh. Yeah, I'm just, you know, cough, and then you're like, okay, you know, I'm out of there. But it's like, to me, like the things that are going on, like even like I'm just like, okay, what can I do? Like I'm always left at a loss.
I
agree.
That's much more helpful if someone's like, I feel like shit. I need you to do this.
I just need some Tylenol.
I've heard that a lot from guys. Like, just tell us what you need. Like,
just tell us.
Because gals dance around it a lot.
Right. Because they want to take care of you, but they also are stupid, so they don't know anything about how to.
Yeah, we have no idea
how to do that.
They're not good at reading between the lines, I think it is. It's just like, this is what I need. This is where you get it. Go get it. Like, just clear instructions.
Do you know how many times I've been at the end of a night with a girl and I go, I'm just tired, and they're like, I'm tired too, and I go, okay, well then I'll put you in a cab, and then I get to the, and then I send them off, and then I get a text of like, I can't believe you're such a fucking dick that we didn't go home together. And I'm like, you said you were tired, I said I was tired, we both had shit to do. Like,
she probably wanted to snuggle.
Well, I'm saying I'm lost for the I was like, we just said we're both tired,
let's go back and hang out.
She could have been like, hey, let's go home. Mm-hmm. And I could be like, oh, okay.
Right, because you couldn't read between the lines of her being like, I just want to...
Yeah.
She wasn't like, oh, I want to leave by myself.
Yeah, to me, it was like, you got shit to do. Right. Like,
Can you snuggle if you like say you're tired? Like, were you okay snuggling with someone that you don't know that well? Because that to me sounds terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. Like, if I'm like truly tired, I just want to be left alone. I don't want to have to like introduce a new person to my fucking dog and shit at 3 in the morning. No, thank you.
I understand that. I'm a cuddler, so I'm in that game. So like I would be like fine with it, but I would be like also like, okay, we're done. The cuddle is over. Let's it's fold over. The book down on cuddling, and we'll go to our separate sides of the ring.
That's fair. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me,
Corinne. You're fabulous. Check out per usual,
Guys We Fucked and Two Less Lonely Girls.
Go check them out at Philanthropy Gal on Twitter and Instagram. Super funny. Also, I have a kinship with Corinne. I feel like we have the same drunk eating habits.
Oh my god, we do. You tweet my soldier.
Yeah. We you do too. I'm always witnessing. I'm like, oh, that looks good. You had something that you posted the other day.
Oh, what, my garlic it? Peanut noodles from
I wanted those so fucking bad.
Monkey that King I Noodle Company in Dallas, shout out.
We're going to Dallas October 1st. We have to go to we'll Monkey go King.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because I saw those noodles and I was like, need it.
And Emporium now. Pies, you're going to want to go.
I love your
to.
Range of eating. I feel like you're either eating like 1 tablespoon of peanut butter a day.
Doing that today.
We both bipolar eat is what I call it. Yeah. So it's either absolutely. I'm eating only kale all week or just like lard from a bin.
It's my balance, right? Yes. Yeah.
In my mouth.
We take our shots.
I like that.
Thank you, Corinne.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Betches.